Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
John Harbaugh met with the media for a final look back at Sunday's loss to Pittsburgh.
Appreciate everybody being here. Excited for the opportunity. Been working all morning talking to different coaches and players and preparing for the Bengals game. We have an opportunity to win the division, and that's what we're going to be focusing on, and focusing on the next game, which is the most important game. What questions do you have?
John, I'm sure you looked and watched the Isaiah Likely overturned touchdown since then. Are you okay, comfortable with the call, or do you, after watching it, do you feel there needs to be more clarification on what is a catch?
Well, that's a complicated kind of a question there. Like, am I comfortable? You know, no. Do I think there needs more clarification? Yeah, it's about as clear as mud right now. That's how I feel about it.
Does it make sense to you that when a guy gets 2 feet in, you know, on the sidelines, that's a catch? You hit the pylon with the football, that's a touchdown. You break the plane, that's a touchdown. But somehow that's not ruled a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah. There's a lot to it. And that's a conversation. We had a conversation with the league office. And they were gracious enough to spend a lot of time on the phone with myself and Eric and Tony Mihalik. And we appreciate that. It didn't clear anything up. It didn't make it any easier to understand in either one of the two calls. They're very hard to understand how they get overturned. But they did, and that's where it stands.
Did that cost you the game?
You never know what cost you the game.
You said the two calls. Did you discuss with them the Travis Jones call, or is that another? Do you go by a different process because that one didn't go through?
We did discuss the Travis Jones call as well, and the Travis Jones call. They told me, I had permission to state this, that it was a wrong call. It should not have been called.
They told you that?
Yes.
John, is it in that kind of same? It has to be forcible contact with the head and neck area,
correct.
Right? It's not just...
Correct. That's the rule. Okay. It's not forcible contact to a defensive player. It's not whether you run a player over trying to block a field goal. That has nothing to do with it. It's forcible contact to the head and neck area.
John, do you have an update on Keaton Mitchell?
Day to day. That's the updates. Day to day. We've got good news. So we'll see where we're at tomorrow and Wednesday. Looking forward to that. Yes.
John, on the Likely touchdown, the one that was called not a touchdown, were you fine with how he caught it? Is that how you guys want him to catch the ball in that situation, trying to keep it out, considering the defender is right there behind him?
No.
Did you look at, just going back to the Aaron Rodgers play, the Teddy Buchanan overturn there, did you sort of look at that as, well, how is Likely play not a catch and not a catch? Was that your view of it?
That's part of the conversation. Sure, that was in the that weaved into the conversation.
What was kind of the explanation?
You know, I mean, we can get into it all. Do we really want to get into the depth of all that kind of conversation? I mean, you know, you're going to the ground. You have to have control of the football. You have to survive the ground when you make a catch. I mean, that's what a catch is. You know, you can't say the time element's like that and he satisfies the time element when you're going to the ground. The time element doesn't apply to going to the ground. So it's pretty clear cut.
John, you discussed a little bit at the end of when you go back and watch the last possession, the two minute possession at the end, it didn't seem smooth. You mentioned that yesterday. What do you think broke down? What happened there?
It wasn't good enough. Just leave it at that. Suffice to say, we have to be better in those situations. We weren't in the right spot all the time. We had to flip a formation one time, basically the one time that the clock was running on us. We had to change the side that we were aligned on. That's what came up on that one play you're talking about in the two-minute drive.
Coach, can you explain what you saw? There was a fourth down play where it looked like Lamar was looking for DeAndre Hopkins, but Mark came through and tipped the ball. Was that ball intended for DeAndre?
I don't know. In the heat of battle, I didn't have a chance to talk to Lamar about that yet. I'm not sure who was intended to throw to. I don't know.
What did you see on film?
I don't know who he's intending to throw to. I mean, it could have been maybe caught by Mark. It maybe could have been caught by Hop if it hadn't been tipped. I don't know.
John, you were sitting and talking to Lamar when we came in the locker room yesterday. Was that you reacting to any sort of distress or frustration that you saw from him? Was it just a normal conversation to sort of lift his spirits? Why was that?
Yeah, it's probably all of it. You know, I mean, it's you guys are in the locker room like less than 10 minutes after the game's over, you know, in that deal. And then that was a little longer because that was after the press conference, I think, right? And so I happened to walk back and I see Lamar, he's still in his uniform, you know, in his locker. And it felt like the right thing to do to sit down and have a conversation. I don't think either one of us really processed that you guys were all in there, but you are in there. It's normal, you know, so we're used to that. And we just had a conversation about stuff, you know, and how we're feeling and a lot of different things. And we have a great relationship and a friendship, and we're processing it at that point in time.
John, we didn't see Emory Jones at all. Was it just a weekly thing, or are you kind of reevaluating?
He played okay in the game. It wasn't better than either one of the other two guys in the first game. You know, he didn't outplay those guys. So going into the game with your best guys that you feel are playing the best, so you got to meet players where they're at. Not to say he couldn't get more time this week, you know, based on what happens in practice or how guys are doing health-wise and those sort of things. But, you know, that's where it was at. So, I mean, Emory's doing great. I mean, he's in a great place. I love where he's at. And I think if he went out there, he'd compete like crazy. And I think he'd play great because I would trust him to go play great. But based on that performance, you couldn't say it was better, you know, or even the same.
John, you mentioned the swing pass touchdown to Jaylen Warren. You said that was one of our worst plays. A lot of things broke down. If you go back and watch it again now, what was it that led that whole half of the field basically to be open for
him? Just two missed assignments, two guys not covering the correct guy. You know, that was pretty straightforward. You know, doesn't happen very often. We haven't had many of those all year, you know, and I think maybe one or maybe two total all year, which I'm kind of proud of, but it came up there and it's a head scratcher, you know, so, but it happened.
Is that it?
John, with going forward, with the offensive line, we've asked you a lot about changes. Were you pleased how that group played as a whole on Sunday? I know there's been a lot of talk about Falele's play and how he got beat on a couple of occasions. What did you see when you evaluated him and as you continue to evaluate him?
Yeah, I just talked to George Moorhop about it. You know, it's all in all, I thought the offensive line played well all in all. You know, and I thought the two tackles played two of their best games. Roger overset one time, got beat inside on a certain type of a pass protection. Tyler played really well. I thought the guards played exceptionally well in the run game. I mean, they were moving people. They were wearing people out, you know, so that was good to see. I thought they were mostly good in the pass game, but too inconsistent probably. There was two or three each of them had probably. Daniel had a couple in the pass game, and Andrew might have had one or two in the run game he wants back. But every player has plays they want back, you know. I can think of one where Daniel was hard setting, like a hard play action when it was more of a drop back pass type protection, got overextended and got beat like that. You know, that's that really shouldn't happen. I mean, you know, he should be setting a different way there. You know, he knows that. So that was a mistake. Lots of other times it was good. We got beat toward the end on a two-man inside game, you know, that we could have done a better job on. Keep Lamar clean right at the end of the game there. So things like that needed to be better from the interior guys.
John, you talked about it a little bit after the press stage that they were able to complete the deep shots. You know, there was a lot of talk, you know, outside talk anyway, about how little they had pushed the ball down the field over the last month. How much of a talking point was that during the week that they might try that? Were you guys surprised that they took those shots? And I guess just looking at those plays, you know, anything that stood out about
them? No, they were. I mean, they were. They were good throws and good catches, and they're right. Kind of, they were all covered. You know, we might have had the one on the left sideline that there was a step of separation there. We felt good about. We didn't play press all the whole game by any stretch, but whenever we were in press, I think through you know, that was one of their checks in press to go get it. So, you know, you probably go back and rethink that a little bit in those situations. But we played press a lot of times where it took away a lot of routes too. So we felt like we would. we know we're good at that. You know, we do a good job of jamming people at the line and covering people. We've been exceptional, you know, in man coverage. So, but those plays were made, you know, and it was really all they had. That, and then he was able to get out a couple of times. I think of the play right to start the second half, you know, where he got out. It was crazy that he got out there and hit that scramble play for a big chunk that got him a field goal, I believe. So those two things, I think those, the fades, was four of them, and the scramble play are really the four plays that you'd say, hey, you know what, those are the plays that kind of, that was the core of their whole offensive production, really, the whole game. All the other things, I mean, things like the run game, we took it away. The run after the catch game, we took it away. I was proud of that. And we played, the underneath routes, we drove, we tackled really well, you know, so those were all points of emphasis as well.
Yeah, what was about I think it was a 3rd and 2 right before the 4th and 5?
Yeah.
What broke down?
We just didn't, as you look back on it, I mean, it was, it's crazy that happened, you know, and I don't think we had an understanding between the box and the field in terms of what we wanted to do there, you know, and that's communication. We got to take responsibility for that as a coaching, on the coaching side. So, you know, I'll take responsibility for that one. That's it shouldn't happen. We thought we were going to be okay with the formation, and it didn't turn out we were, you know. So if I had to do it again, I definitely would have called timeout if I'd have known that, felt that way.
John, when you guys added DeAndre Hopkins in the offseason, I guess, what were your expectations for his role, and how is that compared to how you guys have used him so far?
Yeah, I'd like to be using DeAndre more. You know, he got a couple throws. You know, just kind of sometimes it's just the way the game goes a little bit. But, you know, he's not out there all the time. He's not. I don't think he's at the stage of his career where he's going to play every play, you know. So, you know, when he's out there, you really want to – and we've talked a lot about this, trying to be intentional about him being out there for specific purposes and to do the things that he does well, which we all kind of know what those things are. So I will say that, like, if you go back and you watch the game, you're going to see him playing his tail off. I mean, he's running routes. He's fighting to get open. He's blocking. He's competing. He's doing everything he can. And that's what I admire about him and love about him. He's just become one of my favorite players ever, you know, and we are gonna be friends for a long time, you know. And he and I have had a lot of these conversations. But yes, this next game and these next four games and into the playoffs, let's get him involved more. You know, we really need to try to do that. We have been trying to do it. We can do it. It hasn't fallen for us, but I still believe he's going to make plays for us that are going to matter.
Yeah, the holding on the special teams play before, do you think that was a legitimate? I know what did you see on that?
I think he went to the ground. You know, what caused him to go to the ground, I couldn't tell. Well, that'd be one that we'll send in and ask him about.
I'm sure you're probably the fact that the guy in the far end threw the flag, not the guys that were closest to it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can't. Who knows why they call stuff sometimes.
How do you guys kind of formulate Lamar's practice plan? He said last week that Wednesday was maybe going to be a rest day, and he played and he practiced, and instead of done, missed Thursday. And just like, how important is kind of modulating everything, especially with, you know?
Well, I mean, Lamar, yeah, I get it. There's not a science. There's no science to it. You know, you want to have everybody practicing every day. I mean, that's your goal, you know, as a coach, but. It's a long season, man. I mean, these guys go through a lot. You know, Lamar, much as anybody, he's got the ball in his hand every play. He's making plays. He's doing what he does. He's competing like crazy. You know, so there's going to be times where he's just not going to be up for practice. It's just not going to be the best way to go about doing it. And that's a conversation between, you know, Lamar, the trainers. You know, we're involved in that to some degree. But, you know, what's best for him to be ready to play his best on Sunday? That's really what matters. And so, sure, you'd rather have everybody practicing all the time, but if it's not the best thing to practice because you want to get your body right, that's definitely got to – you know, I think you have to respect that as a coach. I know you have to respect that as a coach. So I respect Lamar and his judgment, and I thought he played very well. You know, I thought he played very well in the game.
And just, I guess, with how long he's been in this time locking system, it's not like, you know, there are parts of the playbook that aren't available to him because he's not out there on the field right now. Like that, right?
Yeah, I'm,
he's been in this offense under Todd Monken. It's not like missing practice means anything is off the table for this offense.
Absolutely. I mean, he knows the offense, you know. And I think if you look at the game, you would have to say he looked good physically. You know, he was moving well. So consider that. You know, he was moving around pretty darn good, and that's a positive, and I was happy to see it.
John, they got some good starting field position off of your kickoffs yesterday. What is Tyler's target on most of it? Is he trying to get it to the 5, and sometimes it holds up at the 10? Like, what is the goal on the kickoffs?
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, we want the short kicks are the ones that are coming out past the 30-35. I mean, it's just that simple. You know, so no, we don't want the short kicks. We're not trying to kick the ball to the 10 or 15 yard line. You know, those are really tough to cover. You know, it's hard. You catch the ball at the 15. I mean, how far do you have to run? You know, so those are too short. You know, and he's a young guy. He's a rookie. You know, and so he's working on it. He's not consistent at this point. We need him to be more consistent. We'd like to have the ball, yeah, 5 inside the 5. You know, if it leaks into the end zone, it leaks into the end zone, you know, sometimes. So that's kind of where we're at with it.
Is it a technique thing? Is it a reacting to the conditions thing?
It's a lot of things. Yep. It's a lot of things. You're out there and you're trying to put that ball down the field. You're trying to kick it right. And sometimes you don't hit it right, you know. And it's probably more like golf than anything else. Do you play golf, Childs?
Not in any definable way.
Right. So you probably come up short on your chip shots quite a bit, you know. He's coming up short on those, you know. And it's not, you know, Tyler, I love you. You know, he knows. We've had the conversation. So we want those balls deeper.
John, you mentioned you'd send the play in on the punt return, on the punt holding penalty. And this, if I can go back to the conversation you had about the replay play and the Travis Jones play, was that call you guys initiated this morning? And is that unusual for you to do?
Yes and yes. That's not – I think I've done it one other time this year so far. I'll say this. Perry Fuel, Walt Coleman are great. You know, those are the two guys that interact with the coaches directly. We don't get to interact with anybody else, whoever else there is back there behind the scenes. But those two guys are the guys that relate to the coaches. And anytime I've ever called those guys – I mean, I've known those guys for over 20 – close to 28 years, both those guys. And they're excellent, and they're honest, and sometimes it's tough on them to explain it. So I understand that too.
That's who you had the conversation was both with them.
What's it like in the room when you guys hang up the phone and they tell you, oh, yeah, we got something wrong, but you know, there's nothing we can do about it now.
Yeah, we move on. You know, we move on. We just like our team does. You know, it's our job to make it right. You know, that you're not going to expect everything to go your way. You're going to get. There's a great passage in 2 Corinthians that talks about, you know, these kind of things, trials and tribulations and things like that. They create an enduring toughness and hope, you know, and that's you look at it that way. We understand what the good that can come from these challenges. And if we become the type of team that can overcome these types of things, then you become the type of team that can go far. And I think that's true for football. It's also true for life, for family, for your kids, when you talk to your kids, all these things. These are enduring, self-evident principles that we try to talk to our guys about. So let's apply them to our football team right now. And those calls were trials and tribulations, put it that way. And you know what? Let's overcome them. Let's beat them.
John, go ahead.
We've asked about the red zone a lot this year, 2 for 6 again yesterday. I mean, at this point in the season, does it feel like you're kind of running out of options and ways to try to fix that situation?
No, because we don't run out of hope. You know, I mean, it's like I'm not a hopeless person, so we don't run out of options. You know, we keep working and we keep developing and we keep coming back and keep fighting. We don't throw up our hands and say we're out of options. We don't do that. So the answer to that is a firm no.
John, we haven't asked you about a while. Has there been any clarity on the Amde Medebike situation? Do you know any more about that you can share?
No, not that I can share. There's a lot going on there. It's in with Namdi, and I'd love to share some stuff, but I can't share it right now.
Okay.
All right, great.
Thanks, John.